Welcome back. Tonight, we're with George Moulton, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
I like to push myself. I'm not content with just sitting around singing like this. To me, it's more of a, it's not just an emotional thing or it's a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. If I'm not doing that, I'm not putting on a show. I'm not giving people everything I've got if I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I understand. It really does ramp up the performance when you belt it out, yeah. And that baritone sounds mighty sweet too.
I agree. I mean, there's. I'm not saying I agree with that. Sound
well,
beautiful.
You can agree.
But I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. There's just a time and a place for all of it, and you try to use it when it's appropriate, I guess.
You have a talent with your voice, and you can do some interesting things, including you can imitate Willie Nelson as well, can't you? Can you pull one of those off for us tonight?
Let's see.
Secret's out.
Well, in the twilight glow, I see her. Blue eyes crying in the rain. Something like it.
Oh, yeah.
Funny enough, that's kind of how I got started singing. One of my favorite songs at that time, Willie came out with the old Elvis song, You Are Always On My Mind. Oh. And I just thought it was cool, you know. And I'd be sitting on the creek bank with my dad fishing, and I'd hold my nose when I do it. It'd be, you were always on my mind, you know. And I did it somewhere, and somebody said, hey, man, you sound just like Willie Nelson. It's the worst thing they ever could have said, because then from then on out, I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the Willie thing down. And it's followed me ever since. But I love Willie. I love all of his stuff, man. He's been a big influence on me. When I was 16, I drove my car outskirts of town, pulled off the side of some gravel road, with a full moon shining and the engine turned off. I rolled my windows down, turned up a fair, and turned on the radio. Now it seems like so long ago, took my first ride down that gravel road, where a country boy learns a secret to how to live, where the blacktop stops and life begins, where you learn how to love and how to let go down that gravel road. Well, a few years later, when I met her, well, I remember this. Dylan and Grandma Rowe, we shared our first kiss. Yeah, playing the stars up in the sky. The look of love was in her eyes. Oh, and I never will forget. Seems like just yesterday she gave her love to me and took my breath away. Well, country boy learns a secret to how to live. Well, the blacktop stops and life begins. Well, you learn. Thank you. Now it seems like so long ago I took my first ride down that gravel road, where a country boy learned the secret of how to live. Well, them blacktop stops and life begins. Well, trying to think what my first real experience was probably with the John Michael cutting the song. I had actually quit. I mean, I was probably at that time 24, 25. I just laid my guitar down and just decided, you know, I'd had enough. I didn't want to do it anymore. And then a family friend came to me and asked me to sing at their daughter's wedding. So I agreed to do that. Well, it was a duet song, so they had another lady that came and sang the duet with me. After hearing me, she was, you know, I can do this. I can get you where you need to be. But she talked me into it, and she was the one that got the material and stuff to John Michael. I remember being home one night, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings.
3 o'clock in the morning?
3 o'clock in the morning. And I answer my phone, and he's like, "Is this George?" I'm like, "Yeah, who's this?" And he says, "It's John Michael Montgomery." I hang the phone up. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rings again. He's like, "No, I'm serious, man. This is John Michael Montgomery." I said, "Look, dude," I said, "stop calling me and messing with me." I probably use more better language than that. But so I hung up the phone and unplugged it out of the wall. Well, next morning I got, and this was before cell phones, all right, or before I had one anyway. Next morning I plugged my phone back in, and this lady calls, and she's like, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "What do you mean, what's wrong with me?" I said, "You hung up on John Michael Montgomery 3 times last night." I said, "That wasn't him." And sure enough, it was him. He'd been up having a good time listening to the music, and he decided to call. So anyway, he cut the song, and he took me to Nashville and actually introduced me to his manager, John Doris, at the time. So John really liked a lot of the stuff I was doing, so he took me across town to a guy by the name of Bob Beckham. Bob Beckham was the president of a publishing company there called Hori Pro Entertainment. Bob was 74 years old when he signed me, but Bob was the same guy that signed Kris Kristofferson to his first songwriting deal.
Wow.
Signed Waylon, Jerry Reed. So the meeting took place this way. John Doris and Bob Beckham sat in Bob's office and talked and played my music. Ronnie Gant, who was the vice president of the company, came down and said, "Hey, come with me." So him, along with a bunch of the other songwriters and some guys that worked upstairs, they took me to a bar across the street where they kept me for about 4 to 5 hours. So by the time I spent all this time with those guys, you know, just doing what we were doing and laughing, you know, I just came back. I told John Doris, I said, "I don't care what the money is. I don't care what the deal is. I said, this is where I want to be. These guys are terrific." And so I did. I spent 7 years there.
That's a long time to be in one bar.
Yeah. Yeah, one bar. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. I spent about 3 hours in the bar, 7 years with the publishing company. Well, tonight, a cold one just won't do. Gonna take something stronger, get me over losing you. Can't expect a house that's made of glass to withstand a hurricane, or a six pack to kill a 90-proof pain. 90-proof. Chasing it back with the memories flooding my mind, like a drowning man begging for more rain. Well, I'll never quench the thirst, I'll be dead first trying to kill 90 proof. in the beginning, it was easy to get by. Couple of beers just to help me sleep at night. But as the nights got longer, well, the hurting just got stronger. And now it takes a little more to ease my mind. And I need proof. Chasing it back with the memories flooding my mind. Like a drowning man begging for more rain. Yeah, I'll never quench the thirst. I'll be dead first trying to cure a 90-proof pain. Proof pain, one shot at a time. Chasing it back with the memories flooding my mind. Like a drowning man begging for more rain. I'll never quench the thirst. I'll be dead first trying to kill a 90-proof pain. Never quench the thirst, I'll be dead first, trying to kill a 90-proof pain.
Yeah. I mean, you've written tons of songs.
Yeah.
Really marketable songs. I mean, how does that happen?
Everything changed when I started. The year I started writing, all a couple of laws changed. Number one, used to, a songwriter, you could only collect royalties for so long and then you were done. It went into what they called, I guess, public domain. Well, the year I signed my contract, all that changed. So even songs that I wrote, 20 years ago, if they're making money, I can collect money off of them. And when I die, I can leave that to whoever I want to leave that to. The second thing that happened was you were only paid for number of records sold, or CDs, whatever it may be. That meant they actually had to be bought from a store before they counted. That year, everything got changed to where you were paid for the number of records pressed. So if, like, John Michael's album that I had Weekend Superstar on was the same album, had a song on it called The Little Girl, which turned out to be a big, huge hit for him. And it came out a little while before the album. So they knew the album was going to do well. So they automatically pressed well over a million of those. So the going rate at the time was 10 cents. So for every album he pressed or sold, I got 10 cents. Of course, my publishing company got half of that. You know, so I got 5 cents. And then there was BMI, Broadcast Music, you know, they watch the songwriters to make sure we don't get robbed. Well, they take 3% of my 5 cents to do that. And then I had to call a guy or a company in New York called the Harry Fox Agency. Well, they watch BMI, make sure BMI ain't ripping me off, and they take another percentage out of my 5 cents to do that. But with that being said, I remember to this day the first royalty check. You got paid in quarters. The first royalty check I got from the John Michael Montgomery album. Literally walked out of my house, walked to the mailbox, opened the mailbox up, seen a check from BMI, went in the house, opened it up. It was like $26,000.
Huh.
Wow. You know, and for a long time, for several years, they got bigger and they got bigger. And then the Montgomery Gentry album was right behind it. I'm sure there's a million people said this. If I'd known what I know now I'd have hung on to some of that. But hey, it took me 15 minutes to write those songs. I could do that every day of the week, you know. Youngin' just out of college, Billy made up his mind to go round west, give it his best, and riding in a rodeo. Stopped by a little honky tonk, my old man. Took a seat at the bar beside an old man. Said, "Excuse me, can I have a word?" Said, "You look like a cowboy. Hell, I wanna be one too. I wanna ride them bulls and break them broncs and sing like Chris LeDoux." Well, the old man shook his head and laughed. Said, "Boy, have another drink. Cause you're no Lane Frost and I ain't John Wayne, and it's harder than you think. I broke a bull down in Wyoming about 3 seconds before he broke me. And I woke up 4 days later with a torn out shoulder and a brand new knee. Called a home to the gut in Houston. That one nearly cost me my life. At a final show in San Antonio, said goodbye to my third wife. There's winners and losers and someone ain't alive today. If it is me, I'm happy to be lucky as hell to see living free." He walked with a limp and he laughed when he said, "Only hurts me when I move." He ordered up straight tequila, no salt and no lime. And he chased the bag with a Cobra Light. Said, "Mama, hit me one more time." I spent 15 years on that circuit and I can hardly afford my booze. Yeah, I'm broken, busted, chasing that bubble, and here's my advice to you. Broke a bull down in Wyoming about 3 seconds before he broke me. And I woke up 4 days later with a torn out shoulder and a brand new knee. Called it home to the gut in Houston. That one nearly cost me my life. Did a final show in San Antonio. Say goodbye to my third wife. Hey, there's a winner and loser. If it is me, I'm happy to be lucky as hell to say I'm living cowboy. After everything I said to you, you better strap on your spurs and hold on tight. Pray God's watching now for you. Cause the fame don't last and the glory fades fast when it's over, you're broken through. Should we meet again, I'll pray, my friend, that you'll be living through. Youngin' just out of college, Billy made up his mind to go. He's living out west, giving it his best, and riding in a rodeo.
Thank y'all. We would like to thank George Moulton and his guest John McHugh for being with us this evening. Thanks to our volunteers for their help with our production each week. We give a very special thanks to Becky Alfrey for her work with our social media. Thank you all for listening to our webcast, watching us on Facebook Live, and those listening to us on the Red Barn Network of stations.
We also thank the members of our studio audience for supporting the mission of Red Barn Radio, which strives to present, promote, and preserve the rich musical tradition and artists of this Kentucky region, and then share this treasure with the world. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Performance Hall at Arts Place, here in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and on our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Tickets for Red Barn Radio are now available on the web at eventbrite.com, Lexington.
Let's give it up one more time for George Moulton.
Fly back to me. Fly.
Thank you.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank George and John for being with us tonight. We'd like to thank Chef Greg Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen for supplying food each week for our guests, artists, and volunteers. Located on Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky, Broussard's Delta Kitchen features the authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta, and live music every weekend. You'll find more information on Broussard's on Facebook. Listen locally. Working in concert to encourage everyone to embrace any opportunity to listen locally and engage with each other in a variety of shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. You can learn more about Listen Locally on Facebook, Instagram, and at listenlocally.net. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint provides printed programs each week for our audience members. For all your printing needs, AccuPrint is on the web at accuprint.us. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. Red Barn Radio's line producer and booking manager is Warren Cobb. We also thank our volunteers. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find performance dates and times at redbarnradio.com. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of the Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. For more information on the band, they're on the web at wookoutamerica.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here again on this station next week at this same time as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.